Mookie and Bull in the Basement started fun before we started recording, because Mookie, you can raise your glass, Mookie. Here, raise your glass. I'll raise my can of boobly. Mookie's drinking tea, and we talked about crumpets, and I say, because it goes, it's tree of tea and crumpets time. Like, you don't even know what a crumpet is, because I don't either. But then you said that you make your own special crumpets.
I make my own crumpets.
Okay. All right. I'll be waiting for a delivery at my doorstep soon, my man.
Say less.
All right. All right. So we're doing this pretty weekly, and it's fun. I love doing this. There's a lot to talk about, obviously. I guess we'll start off with, and the best thing about when the two of us get together, it's literally like, hey, when do you want to do it? Later today? Okay. What time? 6? Okay. And that's it. And then we just start recording and we go, right?
Right. You know, it's unfiltered, it's raw, it's nothing rehearsed, it's right. Nothing formatted. You're getting raw, you know, straight to the point sports, man. You know what I mean?
That's right. Are those prescription glasses?
No, they're not.
No, they're not. Okay.
They just have a great lens, though. It's a great lens. You know, shout out to Cabreras. I do need an endorsement deal. But, you know, that's a later day.
And by the way, we are not averse to product placement, friends. So anyone watching that would like you got a T-shirt you want me to wear, bring it on, right?
Right.
We were talking about, you know, it's one of these times where I got to start drinking beer. I'm doing this in my basement at my bar. So it's just like, any breweries out there, you want to just happen to have your can magically appear during the podcast? Yeah, I can probably make that happen. Mookie, what do you need?
Yeah, you know, Resurgence, Southern Tier, you know, it's a few of them, you know, downtown that would mind, you know, having a name plastered somewhere in the right-hand, left-hand corner of this of this frame here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of room, as you can see. Like up here and over here and down there and over there. Man, that's at least 4 corners, Mookie, I think.
Yeah. We got nice, you know, spring deals coming up. You know, you get us up 4 corners.
All right, so let's talk some sports. We'll start with, it's kind of been, everybody's been talking about it. I think it's interesting. Let's talk about the handshake thing right out of the gate. It's Wisconsin, it's Michigan. Obviously, it's a heated late regular season Big Ten matchup, right? The two teams, they just hate each other. I mean, there's an upper echelon of the Big Ten that just despises each other, right? It's like those guys, Michigan State, you could probably throw Ohio State, Purdue, Iowa in that mix. Am I forgetting anybody?
Yeah, you got Ohio State in there. Okay. You know, those are pretty much the bases of it. Indiana, you know, Penn State, once in a while, they have a good team in basketball. They might compete, but yeah, Illinois.
Yeah, Illinois is good this year. I forgot about that. I can't believe I left them out. Apologies to the Illini. Sorry about that. But it's okay. Heated game. Wisconsin, it's tight, right? I think it was tied at the half. It was close. Then, of course, Wisconsin wins by a lot at the end, and there's the lot that happens in the last minute of play, right? So Greg Gard takes a couple timeouts. Juwan Howard is pressing down 15 under a minute to play, which that's mind-blowing to me. Like, what are you doing? Game's over, really. And then at the end of the game, the traditional handshake happens. This is not COVID. Everybody's doing the handshake now. And Juwan basically walks or is about to walk by the Wisconsin coach. And the Wisconsin coach says, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he kind of grabs his hand because he wants to explain, according to him, he wants to explain why he took the timeout, because he could probably see the dismay on Juwan Howard's face when it all happened. I'm sure they both had looks for each other at one time in that last minute of play. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Right? So there's obviously some frustration between the two of them. So we know everyone's seen the video. We've all heard, you know, what they both said about it. But the penalties, the 5 games, and then the fines for both, and a couple of the players were suspended as well. What'd you make of it? I mean, I don't know, man. I hate the fact that there was a slap thrown. I hated seeing that. You know, a coach is supposed to be a leader of men and an example setter. And that's not what you want to see, right? I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
I agree with that. I mean, you know, there's no place, you know, in basketball for that. I mean, nationally televised game on CBS, by the way. It's absolutely no way how, you know, Coach Howard responded in that fashion. But I knew that, okay, I said it on my radio show on Sunday. I was like, basically what's going to happen is he's going to get suspended for the rest of the season, which will be the 5 games, and it'll be a fine. I did get that, but I think the coach in Wisconsin should have got suspended the game too. You know what I mean? I really believe that. I don't care if anybody else got something to say about that, because Jamal Howard was, he was tight. He was mad about the situation. But my thing is this, if you're pressing, don't get mad at him for calling timeouts. You know what I mean? Don't get mad at him. If you're going to press, you shouldn't be mad at him for, you know, doing what he's supposed to do in that situation. You know what I mean? So, okay, I get that. But if there's an issue and you obviously clearly was, and you see that he's not trying to speak to you, why would you stop him? Why would you stop him and want to have and engage in some sort of conversation with him when obviously he don't want to speak to you at this time? You know what I mean? He's clearly frustrated about whatever the case may be. And you're grabbing him is not a good situation for you to do that. So if he don't grab Juwan Howard, none of this happens. So, you know, I feel that he should have some sort of onus. And he was throwing a few F-bombs himself. If you listen to the recording, he was throwing some F-bombs out there too, you know. And I just feel that he should at least got suspended the game as well. He shouldn't just got off the hook with just a $10,000 fine. He should have some, you know, he at least should have got suspended a game. You know what I mean? Because there's no place in basketball for that. Now, Juwan Howard was automatically all the way wrong. Yes, he was. But once again, if the coach doesn't grab him and stop him to whatever he say that he was trying to explain, he wasn't trying to explain why he called a timeout right there. I mean, you can clearly hear, was he trying to explain himself right there and there at that point about why he called a timeout? He wasn't saying that. It was some, don't touch me, you know, F-bomb this, F-bomb that, and then he retaliated with his F-bombs and okay, they had to separate. Now, my question is, what did the other assistant coach run over there and say to Juwan Howard for him to want to throw a punch? Nobody's talking about that. You know what I mean? Only thing they're saying is, oh, Juwan Howard, he just swung a punch. So obviously that guy had to say something to Juwan Howard for him to act in that manner, for him to lose his cool, being a head coach representing, you know, Michigan on national television. He had to say something. But for Wisconsin to get away, you know, just with a little slap on the wrist fine, I got a problem with that. You know what I mean? I already knew what Juwan Howard was facing. But once again, Wisconsin, they should have got something a little bit more than what they received. I'm sorry.
You know, okay, so what would you say to the argument of, hey, Juwan, be the bigger man, just shake the guy's hand and move on? Instead of, well, I mean, I don't care if the guy's got a, I don't care if he's mad. I don't care if he's angry.
Again, I mean, I'm going to do that. I mean, I'm going to shake the guy's hand no matter. If I get my ass kicked, I get my ass kicked. You know right. what I mean? But I'm going to shake my hand, and then I might say something in the presser about it later on. And then, okay, we can sit and we can discuss it later. But obviously, it was something more to the point where Juwan didn't want to speak to the guy. So I'm not going to go out my way to talk to a guy if he don't want to speak to me. I'm just going to let that man go about his business.
Well, I don't know if we didn't see the same thing. Because what I saw was Juwan Howard walking right by him. And that's part of the reason why he grabbed him, because he wanted to shake his hand and tell him what he apparently was telling him or wanted to tell him. So Juwan Howard wasn't going to shake his hand at all, regardless.
Right.
Which says to me, you're a baby. You're not setting a good example for your, that's absolutely disrespectful. And there's no sportsmanship right. there. Like, that's a problem right. for me. And that's the only right. reason the other guy grabbed him. So he's like, hey, shit. Now, again, that guy's probably not right for grabbing him either. But at the same time, and we weren't there. So we can hear bits and pieces of what happened.
But that is poor sportsmanship. At the end of the day, if coach just let Juwan Howard go without shaking hand, just imagine how real stupid that would have made him feel. Just be like, really, Juwan? Like, you're not going to show no sportsmanship. You're just going to walk by the coach. There's no way for him to really explain that. You know what I mean? Other than, okay, the coach giving my out by grabbing him and putting his hands on him, which he shouldn't have. If a guy don't want to talk to you at that time, hey, he has the right to not speak to you and suffer the consequences later. You know what I mean? I get that. You're a poor sport. You're a sore loser. I mean, all that stuff would have came with it. It still comes with it. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, if a guy don't want to shake my hand, then I'm not going to, you know, go out my way to stop him and try to explain I'm not explaining nothing to a guy that I just beat. You know what I mean? If he, you know, I'm going to go sit down and talk to reporters and explain it to the reporters. He's going to hear it then. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I'm not touching a guy that if you don't want to shake my hand, I'm not going to go out my way to make him shake my hand. Yeah. And that's what I think that the coach from Wisconsin did.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If you don't want to shake his hand, you don't want to shake his hand. Let him be a poor sport. I'm going to shake everybody else's hand down the line and we're going to keep this thing moving.
We're both older school, I think. Tom Izzo said what I thought was interesting. I don't know. Did you see his commentary?
I didn't see his comment.
Tom Izzo is great because some people have, you know, come out and said, well, we got to get rid of the handshake. It's ridiculous. No other sports do it. So because no other sports do a handshake, we should stop this from happening in the NCAA because no other sports do it. So why should they? Right. Because one incident happens, or maybe there's been a handful over the years where somebody gets a little out of line in the handshake line and maybe there's a push or a shove here and there. It's probably happened. We just don't remember. But some people are like, why do we even need to do it? And he's like, because it's all about respecting the competitor, win or lose. It's all about outright respect, right? That's what the handshake is, win or lose. Hey, man, great job. You kicked our ass today. Great job. So he's like, listen, if the other team doesn't want to shake my hand at the end of the game, guess what? Me and my 15, we're going to walk right by him and shake air. And we're gonna handshake their missing hand regardless, because we believe that the handshake in terms of sportsmanship and respect is something that's been built into the game and there's no need for it to go away. Mm-hmm. And that and it's in all of it is a teaching moment for, let's face it, these are 17, 18, 19, 20 year old kids. So they're still, I know say people are like, oh, just do it in high school and with peewees and Mighty Mites and whatever. And let them learn that way. And you don't have to do it at the college level, right? I don't know, man. I just think it's a good lesson to learn, even at that age growing
right.
up. Right. And don't do away with it. And let guys swallow their pride a little bit and let guys take their anger and put it somewhere else for a second and acknowledge that the better team beat you. Acknowledge that you had a game plan, you were ready to go, and unfortunately it didn't work out. And there's another game coming up.
He gave that up in the presser. He gave that up in the press conference. I mean, it was like Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde in the post-game conference. He was just so calm and mellow and, you know, astute and giving them credit. You know what I mean? So obviously it's something personal he had with that coach. And let me tell you this. So let's just say if Juwan Howard don't strike the blow, do he still get suspended 5 games?
Yeah, I don't know where the conversation would have gone, right? I mean, who knows where the conversation would have gone? I don't know.
Still get suspended 5 games?
Probably not. Really,
obviously, it's all about him throwing a punch.
Yeah, for
that,
sure.
That basically got him the 5 games.
Yep.
So if he didn't throw the punch for the 5 games, if he didn't throw the punch, would he got suspended 5 games?
Probably not. No.
Right.
Absolutely not. I mean?
So the Wisconsin coach who stopped him, impeded him from being a baby and all of that stuff, is kind of responsible as well for it escalating, because like you said, just shake air and keep it going. If you want to be a baby, a poor sport, you know what I mean? Our job as media is our job to, man, make that guy feel that, to make him, you know, feel very low about what he done. You know what I mean? And we move on from that. Hopefully he'll grow from that. Okay. You're still going to get a fine, but you might not get no games taken away from you. You know what I mean? So that's why I say, okay, one is not bad for the Wisconsin coach to get that. And I feel that he still should have been suspended as well, because it takes two to tangle. It's not just on Juwan Howard. I mean, it's a lesson to be learned on both sides.
For sure.
It's a lesson to learn to be on both sides. One, you don't put your hands on nobody if they don't want to shake your hand. They don't want to shake your hand. You can't make nobody shake your hand.
Right.
You can't make nobody shake your hand. And that's what I thought that the coach from Wisconsin was doing. You know what I mean? You know, hey, shake my hand, you know, type of deal. And, you know, Juwan Howard was like, yo, don't touch me. Get off me. He was already in a hostile mood. You can see how he responded quickly, you know what I mean, that he didn't want to talk to you. Don't put your hands on me. He clearly said that. You know what I mean? So if a guy is telling me that, get your hands off me, and I continue to conversate and try to explain, that guy don't want to come. He don't want to talk. he's in a different mindset right now. You know what I mean? So, like I said, he at least should have got suspended. a game to let both parties understand that this won't be tolerated. You know what I mean? Okay, Juwan, you was at fault for showing poor sportsmanship and throwing a punch or whatever, but coach, you was wrong for putting your hand on someone. You don't put no. I'm a school teacher, right? We can't break up fights in school because we're not allowed to put our hands on a student. We'll right. lose our license. We'll yep. lose our job, right? So what's the same rules should apply on that level? Why is you putting your hand on a grown man that, you know, if it's his choice not to speak with you, he'll suffer the consequences on not doing it, but you're not going to make him shake your hand.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's just, you know, he's in a volatile state. He's yeah. not shaking nobody's hand. So that's yeah. all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
so
I get that.
He should have got at least one game. Let's not just make this one-sided. Juwan is at fault. It's because of Juwan Howard, the coach, put his hands on him. No. The coach had no business putting his hands on him. Yeah. Juwan Howard want to be a big baby and don't want to shake his hands. I'm not going to stop that, man. I'm going to keep going and shaking assistant coach's hands and the rest of the players' hands. And then I'll talk about it and you know, with the media yeah. and let them handle it. So that's all I had to say about that. But Juwan Howard was all the way wrong. But I just think that the coach should have, you know, he should at least got suspended one game, $10,000. We already know the athletic director is going to pay that. School right. is going to pay that. It's not right. coming out there. Check.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
well, I mean
so
listen, Juwan Howard got fined $40,000. That's not hurting him. He's got to play 10 plus years in the NBA. That guy's got more money than God. He's not worried about it and probably makes $4 million a year in Michigan. So that's not hurting him either. But, now, I can listen to that, but I want to get your take on the handshake thing, though, man. I mean, for people that are saying it should go, like, I'm like, no, man, this is it's a respect thing more than anything.
Yeah, you got to shake hands. I mean, that's just how I was raised. Like, somebody kick your ass. When I started coaching football and I was getting my ass kicked left and right. And I said, you know what? Just shake my hand the same way because my time is coming. You know what I mean? I'm going to shake your hand. I'm not going to be disgusted. You want to run the score up? Hey, I got to stop you. I never believed in somebody running up the score on me. You know what I mean? Because they guys got to get work too. They're second string, third string, whatever. If they're that damn good, they're just that damn good. And we're just not that damn good on the flip side. You know what I mean? So I respect that. Just shake my hand the way I'm going to shake yours because my time is coming. And yep. so when it happens to you, just shake my hand. I don't want to hear no flack at the end or anything. I was taught, hey, yo, good game. Good game, coach. What's so hard to do that? It's not that hard to do that. You know, even if you want to act, okay, let me get the best supporting actor in an ass-kicking role as a coach, okay? That'll be me. You know what I mean? Good game, coach. But I'm going to go back into the locker room, and then I'm going to still be mad. I'm going to be fired up. I'm going to go nuts on my team to make sure that don't happen again. You know what I mean? You know, even if I got to, you know, how to, you know, Coach McDermott say all the time, you know, I got to get better. It starts with me. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's just how it goes as a coach. You got to have some onus to it. And it's all about sportsmanship because you are a leader of men. And what example do you set for them? You know what I mean? Because now you start fighting. So now your team feel that it's okay to throw a punch too.
And by the way, the shame of going through a handshake line after you get your ass kicked is hopefully something you as a player can build on, right? I don't want to go through that. To your point, I don't want to go through that anymore. I didn't like that. That wasn't fun. Like, I really didn't mean good game. I said it, but I didn't really mean it. Okay, they played a good game. I admit it. But I didn't want to say that because I was too embarrassed. But I did because that's what we do because it's about respect, right?
Anyway. Right. You got to respect your opponent.
Yeah.
Give them that. You got to give them that, though. You got to give them that.
For sure. You know,
got to give them that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to – we'll stay in basketball. Now, how closely do you follow college basketball? Because I think we had this conversation the other day about how it's hard for me because there's so many one-and-dones, and, you know, it seems like every year there's a different starting five for all the power teams. You know, the top 25, it seems like at least three of the guys every year are new in their starting lineup, and not because of graduation necessarily. But it's been hard for me to follow. But, you know, I do have – my heart still – bleeds a little bit Nate Oates, so I definitely like following Alabama, but I do know, you know, Gonzaga's up there, Arizona, I mean, God bless them, there's some teams out there who have been powerhouses over the years that kind of sloughed off, whether it was because of, you know, coaches retiring, maybe lack of recruiting, whatever the kid, maybe even scandal at some point, right? Arizona is one of those teams, I think. And it's great to see them back in the mix. It's great to see USC and UCLA in the mix. It's great to see the Trojans playing good basketball. I mean, not that they were ever a powerhouse team, but it makes LA basketball pretty interesting. And then there's the depth in the Big Ten. Kentucky's another great example of that, who they've definitely been sort of on a downward trend, and now they're a powerhouse again. Kansas, another one of those teams that's kind of like
got your usual blue bloods.
Yeah.
You know? Kansas is the Dukes, the North Carolinas, and the Kentuckys. You know, they're kind of like in the middle of the pack. They're not as dominant as they once were, you know, because, you know, they get a lot of one and doners. They get these five-star recruits that, you know, McDonald's All-Americans and play for 1 year, then they're off to the league. So that's kind of hard, you know what I mean, to maintain and being on top when you got that going on. I mean, it's hard to gain chemistry and continuity when that happens, than opposed to a team like Gonzaga, you know, where, you know, they're not getting as many one is done, and those guys are staying all the way to their senior year. And just look at the consistency and the continuity that Gonzaga has been since they was a Cinderella. Now, you know, pretty much a powerhouse in college basketball at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting too about how there's other teams in the mix that have just completely fallen. Like all the old big, again, I'm an old man, and I hate sounding like an old man, but you and I grew up Big East, right? I mean, Syracuse is way down, Georgetown's way down, UConn's having a really nice upswing this year. Villanova has been probably the talk of college basketball since the Big East broke up, because they've really been the best leftover, if you will. St. John's hasn't been anything. Pitt hasn't been anything. BC hasn't been anything. It's a shame that all of those power programs have kind of gone away to the wayside, but it's made room for other programs to pick it up, which is cool. But so are you a bracket guy? Do you get deep into it? Are you into it?
Oh yeah, I'm a bracket guy. Now okay. Let's keep in mind that the tournament is here in Buffalo.
I know.
All right, let's keep that in mind. You know, it's here. March Madness is here this year. So, you know, you got to know something, you know what I mean, in reference to who's the last four in, who's the last four out, whose bubble is likely to bust. And, you know, you got these conference tournaments that's happening before, you know, the selection committee, you know, comes out with, you know, the 64 that's going to go. So it's going to be pretty interesting. You know, you got pretty much the number one seeds, you know, they already got it slotted who they projected to be the one seeds, the two seeds, the three seeds, the four seeds. But, you know, that's still contingent on them winning their conference championship, you know, because that could change. If a Cinderella team comes out of nowhere and then win the conference tournament, they get that automatic bid now, then opposed to a team that was on a bubble or wasn't even considered to be one of the Elite 64. They make a good run, and now that takes one of those last four in, out. You know what I mean? Because a team, let's say Arizona, they get knocked off, they get upset, but they were the favorite to win, you know, the Pac-12. But now you got Arizona State, you know, with Hurley, he goes make a run in Arizona State, wins the Pac-12, which they wasn't slotted to be in the tournament at all. So now Arizona still is going to get in, but is that bottom team, you know what I mean, that 64-65 that was holding that last slot, they're out of there now, you know, because of that. So that's, you know, that's why they call it March Madness, baby, because you never really can tell. It's very unpredictable. And it's always some sort of Cinderella that's going to run the table. I mean, look at it, man. We got Loyola, Chicago, you know, and, you know, the Final Four, you know what I mean? Like that stuff hasn't happened in quite a while, because you got these one and doners from these blue blood schools with these freshmen, these dynamic freshmen. But when they get into the tournament, they play in a school like Loyola Chicago, whose team is seniored up. They all seniors. They played together for 4 years. And then it's not about to let a bunch of damn freshmen beat them. I don't care what type of star they are. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, what we're really seeing out there now. And, you know, so it's going to be real interesting to see, you know, this is the part of college basketball that you really get in tune to, because it's now you're really actually playing for something. So you got the conference tournaments that's coming up, and then, you know, March Madness follows up with that. So there you go, boy. You haven't really missed out on anything. Good. All you got to do is watch the conference tournament, and that's going to get you caught up with everything. And then you'll be ready for March Madness, baby.
So listen, on that one session that you can't go, just shoot me your media pass, okay? Thanks, Mel. Appreciate that. Because we look so much alike, I should be able to swing it.
You got the hair. You got the hair.
That's true. That is true. We do have the five heads going on here, or the whatever you want to call them. Mine's way bigger than yours, dude. Anyway, so who do you want to see? Like, I'm sure you're going to go. Who? I mean, what? Coach K and his last go around playing Buffalo, that would be pretty cool. Like, if Alabama gets in, which is, I suspect they will, that would be cool if he came back. Like, who would you like to see playing Buffalo?
Well, I mean, I'm a West Virginia guy, Bob Huggins, but they're not having a good year, so I don't expect them to even be in the tournament this year unless they just miraculously do something out of the Big 12. And Big 12 is probably the best conference in college basketball this year. I'm usually a Bob Huggins guy, but it's just good to see, you know, teams will come out of the East. Obviously, you know, Duke, you know, it's always good to, you know, you can catch Coach K on his last run because he is retiring this year. So if we can get Coach K here in Buffalo, that'd be pretty awesome. If you know, we get the opportunity to, you know, for the Dukies to come and bless us with Coach K presence on his way out. I'm just a fan of the game. So we just look at the Eastern bracket. So let me just pull it up for you one time. Let's see the East bracket projected. East bracket, darn it. Well, we know Duke is already an East team. Who else could come out of the East as a two seed? Well, Kansas is going to be out of the West. So that's, you know, they always run in the West. But for some strange reason, Duke always holds the East bracket. But they've been kind of shaky because, once again, you know, they're dealing with, you know, with these freshmen. They're dealing with these dynamic freshmen all over again. So who's to say? I'm just a fan of the game. You know, I'm just a fan of the game. And whatever comes to Buffalo, you know, I'm quite sure that all the Buffalonian fans would just be more ecstatic about it because, you know, we don't get the opportunity to have big time basketball here in the city. So,
yeah,
you know, any team, you know, that would come here, it would be A-OK in my eyes.
Agreed. I love it. I've gone pretty much every time it's been here. I probably won't go this year. It's a little pricey, I'm not going to lie. It's like, I think if you go for the whole thing, it's like $450. You get eight games or whatever it is. But and I guess if you're going to do the math, it's really not that bad. But as a sum, it's a little pricey. Whatever. It's still cool to see. And it's great having those teams here in Buffalo and knowing that, you know, Buffalo has come out and attended as well as it has in the years that it's been here and that it keeps coming back is certainly testament to our love of basketball here in Western New York. So that's super cool. Staying on basketball, I want to switch over to the NBA. Has the dunk contest jumped the shark? Like, I watched it the other night and I was bored out of my, I was Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade was like, this is a six for dunk contest. It was the fact that there's no time limit and the fact that, I mean, pretty much everything they did or attempted we've seen before, like, has it jumped the shark? Are we going to ever see anything different or new? And should we change it up? Should we, like, I would love to see, and I think you're old enough to know this, back in the day, CBS actually had a horse competition. Do you remember that when they had NBA guys basically playing horse? Like, I would love to see that. That would be amazing. Just trick shots all over the place. So horse or around the world or 21, you know, but you don't play at 20, maybe play to 11, whatever, between all-stars, one-on-one. I would pay to see that all day.
I don't know where they would, like, where did they get these dunkers from? Like, what qualify you for being a dunker, you know what I mean, for the slam dunk competition? My 6-year-old nephew put more dunks on his Fisher Price basket than I've seen over the weekend. Yeah, I just didn't understand. There was no creativity, none whatsoever. And why not? Why John Morant is not in the slam dunk competition? You know what I mean? Like, that's who I was looking for. I'm like, you know, I'm seeing these highlights and I don't see none of these guys on any of the NBA highlights at all this year. What, like, show me some highlights where they was doing some dunking during the course of a game. I mean, so that's what's been missing. You know, John Morant, You know, what, John Morant, you're dunking all over everybody at 6'3". Like, why you're not in this slam dunk competition? You know, I mean, the greatest of the greats participated in the slam dunk competition. And now it's just become a business. I'm making too much money. And, you know, they're just bougie with it and don't want to participate in it because they are all-star and all that. I mean, what about the fans that came all the way from everywhere and paid their money to see that?
Yeah.
You know, so that, yeah, that definitely was, had to be the worst slam dunk competition I've ever, you know, sat there and really watched it. You know, I mean, it was just bad. I mean, it was trying too hard to do these dunks and wasn't making them. So when it did make a good dunk, it just like, this is the fourth dunk that you try. Like, okay. You know, and you couldn't do that back in the days either. You couldn't miss four or five times.
That's right.
Make a dunk. There's a clock. Michael Jordan couldn't do that. You know, Larry Nance couldn't do that. Kobe Bryant couldn't do that. Like, you know, you get all these tries to make a dunk. It's just too watered down. So I don't know what they're going to do next year. They just need to get the real dunkers out there. Pay them extra, you know, sweeten the pot, you know, yeah, and get those guys to come out there and make it happen. Get a sponsor out there and, you know, up to ante. And, you know, and I guess you'll see more the real dunkers will come out and put on a show, you know. So
yeah, and don't even give away money. Like, here's a Bentley, right? I mean, I don't know, just right. Doesn't have right. to be money. Like, give them, like, be creative
dunk
about it.
You could cool. dunk for charity. You could dunk for charity, like
dunk
how they
for
did
charity.
In the All-Star
a
game.
Great idea.
Dunk for charity.
You best know, I mean, idea I've ever heard.
You know, 100,000 to your charity of your choice. So
yes,
you know, yeah. I mean, they be more creative with that because that was just horrible.
Yeah, it was that bad. Was I will that say this. Been... Well, I was going to say the savior I thought for All-Star Weekend was Steph Curry. In my opinion, I mean, I know people say he's a great shooter of all time, and he, man, I'm watching that thing and I'm just shaking my head. I was like, oh my God. He made like six or seven in a row, I think.
I mean, he was on fire.
And they were bombs. They were like 40 feet. Mm-hmm. It was like nothing. Like, God, that guy's good.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, they put on a good showing. It was good entertainment. And, you know, it got kind of serious towards the end, as it should. I don't know how the NFL will be able to try to emulate something like that to make it competitive after. Okay, we're gonna give you the entertainment portion of it, but at some point we're gonna lock in and play basketball, and that's what they did. You know, with these new Mamba rules, you know, put in place, it kind of forces them to play that way. You know, what I mean, you've seen in that fourth quarter, Joel Embiid, like, you know, going one on one with Jared Allen, and they're trying to win that game. You know, what I mean, so it, you know, and all in all, then you got LeBron making the game winner. How fitting is it, you know, for it to happen that way? So they put on a good showing and kind of salvaged the rest of the weekend on how bad and dismal it was from the skills competition to all the other games. You got Karl Anthony Towns winning the 3-point competition. You got a center, for crying out loud, winning the 3-point competition. So, you know, how bad can it possibly be? You know what I mean? When a center wins the 3-point competition, and I don't know who won the slam dunk competition, Obi Toppin.
Yeah.
Like who really cares? You know, nobody really cares. Yeah. You know, normally, like you said, the slam dunk guy, he gets the commercial, you know, right after the game, and all that stuff. It was just, I don't know. Maybe it was because it was in Cleveland. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I will say this though. And I don't, we had this discussion in one of our previous episodes. I don't watch a ton of NBA just because I don't know anybody. And it's hard for me to watch because I just don't know anybody. And a lot of the guys that I don't know aren't very good to begin with. But my God, another guy who I was mad impressed with, and I know he's a hell of a player, is Embiid, man. Embiid, for what he is incredible. I mean, he could be, I don't know if he's necessarily athletic enough, but he could be, it sounds crazy, but he could be a modern day Magic. I mean, the guy's 7 feet tall. He can ball handle. He can shoot the three. We know what he can do on the block. We know what he can do. I mean, the guy is, you talk about five, he's about a 10 tool guy, that guy. I mean, that guy is a guy that everyone should know about and understand how good he really is, man. I was really impressed by his game.
Well, yeah, you can see how he was playing in the All-Star game. It's kind of like he took that personal because, you know, he did kind of feel like he got slotted out of the MVP by Jokic last year. So, you know, you're playing amongst your peers, you're playing amongst, you know, the NBA's best. You got the stages set. So here it is. Give me the rock. Let me show you why I'm one of the best in the NBA right now. And I think he is in the driver's seat for the MVP. If he keep playing the way he's playing, you know, he definitely should be able to win the MVP this year. But Magic, I don't know. He don't handle the rock like Magic. You know, he can do just about everything else, but Magic with Showtime, you know what I mean?
Magic is a better passer. Definitely a better passer for sure. No doubt.
Embiid ain't really passing too much.
Right. That's right. And now somebody's going to be begging for the basketball on his team in the form of James Harden. So again, to your point, he's probably still not passing very much going forward.
Stay tuned with that one.
Let's talk about Brian Flores. Now he's with the Steelers, right? Assistant is defensive. I don't even know the title. Defensive assistant head. I know his linebackers coach.
He's the senior defensive assistant coach, and he's linebackers, as you said.
Okay. I have, and I'm not going to call this a conspiracy theory necessarily, but I have an idea as to why he's there. And I'd love to hear your take on it. Rooney Rule started where? Obviously with
Pittsburgh.
The Rooneys, Pittsburgh, right? Mike Tomlin's there. He's got a couple of rings. He's been coaching for a very long time. Is there that possibility that Mike Tomlin is having sort of a Sean McVay moment, thinking to himself, now on a different level, because Sean McVay still has Matthew Stafford and still has some star power. Mike Tomlin doesn't have a quarterback right now. I mean, I know they're talking about Mason Rudolph, but come on, man. He lost his Hall of Fame quarterback. So now he doesn't have a quarterback. Do you think is there that even remote possibility that the discussion was had? Hey, man, you're a hell of a coach. And you would be a great addition to our staff. And you know what? I'm Hall of Fame future guy, right? And I'm still pretty young. I could do some other things. And so I'm thinking about maybe in a year or two getting out, and here you are, promotion awaiting. Do you think anything of that kind of conversation might have been had between the two? Do you think that's even a remote possibility?
Well, you know, it was rumored last year that he was supposed to be going to USC, and he put that to bed. I don't think so. I think Mike Tomlin, you know, loves the position that he's in. He loves the city of Pittsburgh. Obviously, he's been there, the opportunities and things of that nature. But it's kind of like with Flores, okay, you come to Pittsburgh, NFL is not going to say anything to you or about you. You're protected. You know, like that's the safe house. You know what I mean? Everybody else is not going to put their hands on you this year. And, you know, I say they're wrong because he is a hell of a coach. And he shouldn't be ridiculed because why? I'm still trying to figure out why he just all of a sudden had to leave Miami after winning his last 8 out of 9 games and then he's fired. I haven't seen a coach in the NFL that wins 8 of their last 9 games and they're fired. Okay, so some turmoil there. And that's obvious, probably, you know, what he's saying might have some truth to that because, you know, he's not a yes man. You know what I mean? You hire me to do a job. I'm going to do the job the way I see fit.
That's right.
As a leader of men. And, you know, I'm the captain of the ship. And if you don't like how I'm running the ship, then obviously it's your job to get rid of me. And that's pretty much what happened. It could happen that way. I mean, it could happen that way. Tomlin might, you know, somebody might make him an offer he can't refuse. Who knows? But at the end of the day, he doesn't sit around and collect dust. He still get the opportunity to do some of the things that he loved. And in hindsight, the defense is a schematic fit. You know, they run a 3-4 base, you know. So, you know, that's what Pittsburgh does. And, hey, he's one of the newest, you know, up-and-comers, you know, in the game with that. You know, Miami defense is pretty stout. And, you know, he got some good pieces to work with in Pittsburgh. So, you know, I think it was just more or less of a scheme fit. And then, obviously, yeah, you know what I mean? You know, Tomlin being a black coach and, you know, with the situation. This guy still get an opportunity to coach, and then, you know, he's still in the picture of obtaining maybe a head coach position that opens up next year.
I want to stay on the topic because two guys that got talked about, I think a lot, that are certainly deserving of head coaching jobs And I don't know if either one of them actually spoke out and said that they were disappointed that they didn't get one, are Byron Leftwich and Eric Bieniemy. So Byron Leftwich, right? He's in Tampa. He's with Bruce Arians. And again, I'm just going to throw out, because I have so much time, Mookie, you know how much time I have. And I'm talking to four walls and my dog and my cat and my goldfish and my squirrel that comes to my back door. These are the people that I'm talking to. So I come up with all these cockamamie things that may sound crazy to a lot of you watching and listening. But let me start with Byron Leftwich first. So the natural, it would have seemed, place for him to land would have been where? Jacksonville, right? I mean, right. Think about it. He's a favorite son. You talk about Jacksonville quarterbacks. You got Brunell. You got Garrard. You got Byron Leftwich. Now you got Trevor Lawrence, right? So it would seem that he would be the obvious guy, like no-brainer. I'm just wondering, though, if Byron Leftwich in his head is thinking, Jacksonville's a tire fire. Trevor Lawrence is or was a tire fire. Is he even beyond fixing? Do I want to take that upon myself and risk not being able to fix him, not being able to get the team right, and not being able to win? And in 3 years, I'm on the street, right? Not that he wouldn't get a job. He's obviously very talented at what he does. But do you think in his mind, some of that may have happened? And even if there were discussions, he might have thought, well, look it, I'm with Tampa. Tampa is an organization who is of championship caliber. Bruce Arians is pretty old. They don't have a quarterback. He's thinking and likes the staff, likes the team, knows everybody, is comfortable, probably likes where he lives, making a good paycheck, whatever the case may be. He's comfortable. Is there the chance that he's good, that maybe Bruce Arians hangs it up in a year or two, and there's Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich right in line for that job potentially? I mean, is that crazy to even think that?
No, that's not crazy to think. I mean, you got to look at it. He's in a good situation in Tampa. You know, they just won and coming off a Super Bowl. They didn't, you know, they didn't make it this year. But, I mean, you still have some great pieces. The GOAT has retired. But, you know, you got to figure that out. I mean, him being a former quarterback knows what he's looking for. And they got Trask there from Florida from last year. So, you got a good start there. Maybe they draft, go get another quarterback in free agency. Who knows how that will work out. But one of the reasons that Leftwich didn't take the position in Jacksonville is that he just didn't – he knew that he wasn't going to see eye-to-eye with the GM that's already there.
With Trent Baalke, yeah, okay. That seems right.
He wanted his guy, you know, a guy that he can trust, a guy that, you know, pretty much knows the type of players that I'm looking for to bring in as a general manager. He's not going to be that type of GM to say, hey, this is my vision. This is the type of team that I want. I'm going to bring these style of players in. It's your job to coach them type deal. You know what I mean? And nowadays, that's not happening. You see what happened in Buffalo, right, with Whaley and Rex Ryan. The turmoil there kind of trickled down to McDermott to the point where, you know, they did see odds in the draft room. And then, you know, Doug Whaley was gone the very next week. So if it's, you know, I bring my guy in from Carolina, who I trust. And right now, the Buffalo Bills is probably the model in the NFL on how you restore and rebuild a franchise in such a high fashion. And that's kind of like a common trend now. These new coaches that's coming to get these positions, they don't feel the trust of the old GM. I'm going to bring my guy in that, you know, I've worked with, that he knows what I'm looking for. We have continuity, and we're not going to be at a strain or a tug of war on what type of players that we bring in to make this franchise successful. So he wanted to bring in Adrian Wilson, you know, another type of guy. And, you know, I guess the ownership said, no, we like the GM we have here. And that's why he withdrew his name from being the head coach there. But you do have a valid point. Hey, I can stay in Kansas City. Bruce Arians is not going to be coaching forever. You know, he might be give it one more year. It might could just be this year here coming up.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll
take right. You inherit a better team, arguably, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, like I said, the pieces is in place. You just got to figure out the quarterback now.
Yeah.
You know? So,
Bieniemy kind of, it's kind of the same thing. Like, again, he's in a sweet spot, right? Andy Reid is not a young man, right? And he's got Patrick Mahomes, and he's got a team that's been in the AFC Championship 3 years in a row and won a Super Bowl. I mean, he's in a good spot because Andy Reid's, he's not going to last much longer. Let's be honest. And I don't wish him anything any bad. You know, I hope he goes off into the sunset and is great and whatever, but like, he's not a young man. So is there the potential that Eric Bieniemy is just sitting back, just waiting? Look at this situation I'm in. This is beautiful. I could be handed the keys to this high-end vehicle that's faster than everybody else, that's going to win every drag race, you know, out there. So I'm wondering if that has anything to do with him and his decisions and how his thought processes are, you know?
Well, he wants to be a head coach, you know, and it's crazy because it goes all the way back to when they won the Super Bowl. And I asked him right after the Super Bowl, you know, interviewing him and stuff like that. And I asked him, like, you know, what was going on with you? Why, you know, with these jobs that's open, you didn't, how do you feel about not receiving an offer? And, you know, he just calmly just said, hey, man, my time will come. You know what I mean? The right spot, you know, will open up for him and, you know, he'll take it. But here it is. We're going on 3 years now.
Yeah.
And it's been coaches from all over the place is getting these positions and this guy is getting passed by. I mean, it's to the point where his contract has expired with Kansas City this year. So it's a big decision. Or do they bring him back as the offensive coordinator? You know, so he might not even see that. The only good thing that's working in his favor is Mike Kafka, the quarterback's coach and passing game coordinator for Kansas City, is now the offensive coordinator for the Giants. So that might be one thing that might get his contract renewed, but him and Andy Reid has a rapport all the way from Colorado and things like that. He coached him in college and stuff like that. So their bond and their relationship goes all the way back there. So I don't think Andy Reid is just going to cast him away, you know, especially at this point, because he's been the only OC that Patrick Mahomes has known. So, I mean, maybe they run it back for one more year. They, you know, because his contract is up this year. They give him a one-year deal. And then, you know, maybe the guy can get a job and latch on somewhere. So it's definitely something that's personal that, you know, you and I that don't know about, that obviously people in the NFL, you know, deep down knows on why this man is not hired as an NFL head coach as of yet.
And it sucks too. I mean, think about it. When it doesn't matter who you are, what skin color you are, whatever, most of the time, the teams in the league that have openings are bad. Right. I mean, I get any given Sunday, but a lot of the teams that have had coaching openings is because they're just bad. They're poorly run. Their rosters are not very good. Yes. We see every year one team come out of nowhere and they make it into the playoffs. Maybe they're a 9 or 10 win team when they were a 3 or 4 win team the year before. But isn't that the thing that, and granted, it's an opportunity, but it's not the golden opportunity that I think a lot of people think being a head coach in the NFL is, when you assume, you know, a 1-win team, a 2-win team, a 3-win team, a 4-win team, right? Like, they're not assuming 8, 9, 10 win teams. I mean, probably, if you think about it, the guys that have the best opportunities are probably, I'm going to think, Nate Hackett with Denver, if they can figure out what they're going to do with quarterback, and maybe O'Connell, who Vikings, right? I mean, those are maybe two of the teams that didn't have a coach that may, with a new coach, perform better.
Yeah, I don't get that, though. But here it is, Eric Bieniemy, one of the hottest offenses since Mahomes been out the past 3-4 years, not get a job. But once again, like you said, O'Connell, who is this guy? You know, he's right. Just the offensive coordinator of a hot-to-death team, Ram team, that went to the Super Bowl. You didn't hear about him last year with Goff. You know, you didn't know who this guy was, or if he was the offensive coordinator. But here it is, Eric Bieniemy. We know that he's been the offensive coordinator, you know, since Super Bowl, since before the Super Bowl, and after the Super Bowl. And they've still been consistent. They've still been one of the top offenses in the NFL, but he doesn't have a job. Come on now. It's really looking one-sided here. You know, it's really looking one-sided here. I mean, what's the problem? Is it can't be the color of his skin. Now, I know we're not. It can be that, but it's just, I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it, boy. I don't get why that man is not having a job. I mean, even Dable. You know, how do Dable get a head coaching job before Eric Bieniemy does? I mean, I understand why he got the job, because Joe Shane, the assistant GM for the Bills, I knew that was going to happen. You know, I knew that was going to happen. But still, you know, how does that happen? How does Mike McCarthy, from San Francisco, How did he get a job?
Miami job? Yeah.
Yeah, how did he get a job? This guy never played. He's never played football before in his life. You see how skinny and short he is? He's never played football. If he did, he played, you know, he went to Yale.
Hey, so man. Hey, whoa. I'm short. Maybe play I'm short.
Maybe I'm short, too. I'm short, too. You know, I'm 5'9", barely scraping 5'9", you know, with shoes on, right? But I don't think that, I mean, his build doesn't look like a football player, none whatsoever. I know you played the game at some point. I played the game at some point. But he's never played the game, right? But how did he get a job over Bienemy? You know what I mean? A proven guy, a well-known guy, a guy that knows the game, a guy who's been a head coach on the collegiate level, a guy who's coached on the collegiate level, a guy who's under Andy Reid, one of the greatest coaches of all time. I mean, I can just say that. Like, how he's not getting the job, what's the reason?
Yeah.
What is the reason, boy? You know, it's unjustifiable.
Yeah, and again, I'll go back to my sort of odd theory. I mean, he may... It's very possible that he could look at certain situations and be like, I mean, the Stephen Ross situation in Miami is a S show, right? That's, mm-hmm. that's who knows what's going to happen. Like, why would anybody want to go there considering right. what is happening and may continue to happen going forward? Right. So mm-hmm. I think there is still the possibility that he looks at certain situations, like, I don't know if I'm a good fit there. And maybe isn't super, I know he wants to be a head coach, but maybe not every situation for him is even right. You know what I mean? Is that fair?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he said it in so many words after the Super Bowl. And he said, you know, every situation is not a, you know, good situation because, you know, that team is next up. You know what I mean? So, yeah, he has those options. I mean, he goes through the process, but, you know, maybe he declined an offer that he shouldn't have. I don't know. You know, I mean, the NFL, you know, they're funny like that. No, you didn't take this job. You should have took that job. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of little things in the NFL that you don't see that happens behind these closed doors in the NFL, man.
For sure. And
right now, it's just seeming like a real eyesore that this man has not landed a head coaching job anywhere. But here it is, 3-4 years, abundance of coaches have been getting jobs that come out of nowhere, you know, that comes out of nowhere and get a job over him. Now, I don't know if I would have touched Houston. I don't know if I would have touched Miami. Those are two toxic situations.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I just don't understand why this man is still getting overlooked as a head coach. I mean, I just don't understand it. You know, hopefully we'll get down to the bottom of it.
I'm not him, but I know how I am. And maybe this is just me talking about like the Bienemy situation. If I was him, I'd be like, I got Patrick Mahomes. I got a ring. Like, I like this. This is good. And then at some point when maybe it starts to go bad, then be like, eh, okay, I gotta kind of forecast my future and figure out when it's really important. But I'm just speaking from my perspective. It seems like provided he gets a renewal, which I can't imagine why he wouldn't, he's in a pretty okay situation. And again, to my point, you assume bad teams, and how many guys have taken over bad teams and 3 years later are gone? A million. And I get it. That's the chance you take. But remember too, when guys aren't successful as head coaches, most of them don't get second chances. Some do, most right. don't. Right. So
right.
It's really risky to become a head coach in the NFL. It really is. But if you feel like, and you're a candidate, you're up for that job, that's something you really, really want, you've thought through, then yeah, I mean, what's stopping you? Go get it. Right. If that's the case for him and he hasn't gotten it for outstanding reasons that none of us know about, it is a shame. That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the tough part about it. Bull's contract is expiring, so you know he got to sit down with Andy Reid and see if he's going to be the OC this year.
Yeah,
you know, so there's swirling reports that you know he could be out as the offensive coordinator in Kansas City this year. So that's to be continued. When I go up to Indianapolis, you know, next week, we're definitely going to find out about that and how that's going to work. But to your point, some guys are excellent coordinators. but bad head coaches.
That's right.
I mean, just look at Rex Ryan, a great defensive coordinator, but he's not a good head coach. It was just bad. I mean, okay, he lucked up in New York, but when he came to Buffalo, it was bad. It was obvious that this man wasn't head coaching material. You know what I mean? He just talked a lot. He talked a real good game. You know what I mean? But the overall performance as a coach, not good at all. And that's why you don't see Rex Ryan with another job in the NFL. You know, he's using his God-gifted talents and using his mouth as a broadcast media guy, analyst, where he should be. Coaching is past his time. Or maybe he's just not a good front office guy. I'm hearing that, you know, Eric Bieniemy is an a-hole, you know what I mean, when it comes to that. So maybe that's why he hasn't got a position, because, you know, if you're not, if the front office and your own organization is not fond of you, you know, that's not bidding well to your next job offering. You know, they're going to say, well, you know, he's not really that type of kind of guy to us, you know, so I don't know if he's going to change that habit, you know, in your building. So, you know, maybe those type of things are preventing him from being a head coach. And now it's coming to bite him because his contract is expiring. And I mean, who does that? I mean, who look at this offensive coordinator and say that, okay, here's a guy that should be worthy of a head coaching job, but for rumors to be swirling around that you're about to be out as an offensive coordinator as well, something definitely wrong with that.
Yeah, picture, that's crazy. You know what I mean? That's crazy.
So it's something that's internal that, you know, we don't know about. You know what I mean? We're on the outside looking in, but I did hear that come across my airwaves that, you know, he's not the greatest guy, you know, when dealing with front office people, you know what I mean? So maybe that's the knock on him on why he's not getting a job, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, your peers, you know, they're gonna ask, you know what I mean? You're gonna have those references and say, you know, hey man, how's Bull doing? You know what I mean? What type of guy is Bull? You know what I mean? Like, who can vouch for Bull right now? I wanna give him this job. Who can vouch for him? You know what I'm saying? And we all know how that goes. You know, they're going to call your former employees and all that stuff. And if they ain't got nothing good to say about you, then you better hold on to what you got right now.
Right.
But now that comes full circle too. So, you know, we'll find out in these up and coming weeks on the fate of Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah. Did you watch the Olympics at all?
Yes.
What was your sport of choice?
Well, you know, you got the snowboarding going on. You got bobsledding. You got speed skating. You know what I mean? My guy fell short, you know what I mean, on the snowboarding tip. My man, Sean White, you know, he kind of fell. If he wasn't to fail, he would have at least medaled, you know. But it happens out there. It happens.
I'll tell you what, man. That, the aerial ski jumping is nuts. Nuts. And there was a kid from Rochester that won gold as part of the teams. And I'm trying to get him to do my Bull in the Basement podcast. I'm going to have, just a quick plug, I'm going to have Trisha Mangan, who's a downhill skier from the Olympic team. She's going to be on Bull in the Basement later this week. So look for that, everybody, on YouTube and all the other places that you do podcasts. It's called Bull in the Basement. This is Mookie and Bull in the Basement, whatever. So yeah, those guys are nuts, man. I mean, they're up like, what, 100 feet in the air or whatever, and they can't see a damn thing, and they're spinning around like crazy, and they land on their feet. Right. I would die. Like, I'd be dead. Like, that's, what are you doing? No.
I'm about to say, you're risking your life every single time you're up there.
Nuts.
Just imagine if you had a beer.
Yeah, right. where did you sit, by the way, on Michaela Schifrin? I mean, because here's one of the most decorated skiers of all time who had the worst week, like, ever. Like, she needed to be, she should jokingly, I think she's got a sense of humor, like Josh did with the 13 seconds and the coin toss. She should literally do a Southwest Airlines commercial and replay some of those things for the gotta get away moment, right?
Right.
So, Michaela Schifrin, if you're watching this, you're welcome. And I will not beg royalties from you.
When everything goes bad, you know, it just goes bad. You know what I mean? But, you know, for it to happen on that stage, it's like, like, really? Like, really? This is what you worked hard for? And this is the result? Like, come on. You know what I mean? It's, Yeah, it's just tough, man. That'll weigh on you, man. You got to really check a person's mental health after something like that.
For sure. No doubt about it. And I think she recovered pretty quickly. I mean, I saw some interviews and some performances, and in her last race, she didn't do great either, but regardless, you know, she thankfully has a really good support group, obviously. And I think they talked her through it. And she's one of those people who I think the explanation is very simple. You know, you were off your game. It is what it is, but no, you are one of the greatest of all time. It's okay. Right. I mean, there are the greatest of all time. Tiger Woods had his bad rounds, right? MJ had his bad games. It happens. And it even happens on big stages, right? So, unfortunately,
I don't know if it happened like that, though. You know, Michael Phelps never just like drowned in a pool.
That's right. That's a good point. Deshaun White, I mean, here's Sean White, who you wouldn't ever, I don't think I've ever seen Sean White fall. And here's the chance to medal, and he falls. And he falls. And he's 40.
On the last run, he falls.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he was in tears. I was in tears for him because I knew this is it. This is his last run right here.
Yeah, I felt bad
35
too.
35 years old. So I'm like, damn, at least you just go out on top and medal, man. You only get you on that stage to some degree. And he would have medaled, man. The guy beat him with like, what, 0.4 or something like that, man. Barely beat him. And they fell. Everybody fell. But he just fell last. You know what I mean? And that's just that kind of screwed him in the end, man. That's where you feel bad at. Like, damn, maybe he would have failed the first run and then, you know, picked it up the last couple of runs and, you know, it would have been different because the guy from Korea? Like, he failed the first couple of times, and then all of a sudden he aced it, got the highest score, and then, you know, he ended up, you know, winning the damn thing. So I'm like, what the? Like, come on. So, yeah, it's just a tough break, man. It's just a tough break.
I was so impressed at how, even though it's technically an amateur sport, I was so impressed at how professional he was. He was so incredibly gracious to everybody that helped him through, you know, and developed his career into what it had become and his empire that he's built. And he was so super professional. I gave him tons of credit for that. Last thing, cause I know we're running long. Were you happy? And were you watching Jack Eichel's first goal?
No, I missed Jack Eichel's first goal. I missed my boy first goal. Ah, come on. I miss Jack. Like, come on, run me through that one, man. I'm still an Eichel fan. I know everybody's like, but he had to get out of here. He just wasn't happy here. You know, he just wasn't happy. And you figure, like, what, he's still only, what, 20, what, 3 years old? Like, he's still a fairly young guy. But, you know, he looked like he was just old being here, just sitting here collecting dust. So, damn it, I missed his goal. So, run me through it, boy.
He basically made a play where he was sort of in the circle and his teammate took the puck and went behind the net away from him. He basically left his defenseman in the dust, went to the net, centering pass, knocked it in. Nice, super nice play. Really impressive. So
now we're going to finally see the potential of, you know, Eichel somewhere else when you go to another team. And he's going to just be playing out his mind come, you know, second half of the season and, you know, going into next year like he's been in Vegas all this time. It normally happens that way.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's just another hockey dagger, Ryan O'Reilly, right? It's just it's another dagger in our saber hearts, backs, whatever part of your torso you want to put it.
Right. Who we let go to Florida and end up winning?
Sam Reinhart. Yeah.
Yeah, Reinhart.
He's killing it. Yeah, he's doing great. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. That.
Whatever. They're scoring a lot of goals. They have no goaltending. That's a problem. Address that in the offseason. And I feel like in 2 years, I would say in 2 years, if they get a solid goaltender who can play 55 games and have a reasonable goals against the save percentage, I think this team will be fringe playoffs, if not the last team in wild card in 2 years. That's my prediction.
They'd be good. A lot of damn games that they had the lead, they just let go in the third period. You know what I mean? So there's a mark there that's saying there's signs the potential is very much there. But, you know, next year, you they should be winning those close games, and they should address why they're not winning them now. And goaltending is a big part of that. Like, yep. I don't know. I mean, the trade deadline coming up, I don't know if they have enough assets, you know, to try to make a trade for a goaltender now, but the ones that you do have are okay, but they're hurt. You know what I mean? You can't have, you know, they gotta be durable. You know what I mean? Goaltenders, they play just about every night. So, you know, they gotta be durable. So maybe, you know, they can trade for one during the draft, give up the draft pick for a more seasoned, solid guy, or, you know, you nab the best goaltender, you know, that's coming out of college to, you know, this up and coming season. So I don't know. What route would you go in reference to a goaltender?
I mean, we got two good ones in the draft in the last couple of years. That's not UPL. I mean, they're since UPL, who I think, yeah. I mean, the kid at Northeastern is phenomenal in terms of college hockey. I don't know how that translates to the pros yet, and we won't know until he gets here or plays in Rochester and how that works. But they have two really good goaltenders they got in the draft, so I'm really confident that way. It would be kind of funny if they – figured out a way to bring back, like, they put in a phone call to like Tuukka Rask or something. Hey man, you want to come out of retirement and sign with us and play for a little while and see what happens? I don't think that'll ever happen, but he's out there. I don't think Tuukka Rask would ever play for anybody besides the Bruins, whatever, but I think they're okay. I just think it's going to be, and I hate to say this, and we've said it for what's the drought at now, 11, 12 years with the Sabres, you know, patience, but I feel like the way they've drafted in the last 2 years and May coming up, I think they have enough talent that they're going to be able to build into a contender. And, oh, by the way, you know, Skinner has had a terrific year. He's come back and now registered some numbers. Tage Thompson is a guy we haven't ever seen before because of the opportunity he's been given. I think Tuck's fantastic. I think Krebs is going to get better. He's still a baby. Cousins is still a baby. I mean, these kids are kids. So I really think that, and again, that's a terrible patience word that we always say, but I firmly believe that the talent is here and coming, that this team will be okay in the next couple of years. And my point is, if you're a Sabre fan and don't have season tickets, maybe you get them and get them cheap now before 2 or 3 years comes up and you're not going to be able to find a ticket because these young kids are now 23, 24, 25. They've been in the league three years, and now they've developed. And, oh, by the way, they have goaltenders that can play. Those for me are obviously gigantic ifs, but I feel good about the future of the hockey team. So,
yeah, we got the power next year. So
that's right.
It's shit to get off the pot. And, you know, they should definitely be a better team come next year just because of the players they're going to have coming in and then the players that's coming back, you know. So, you know, they're not losing anybody. It's like somebody's contract is up and they're gone. Majority of those guys will be back, and hopefully the goaltenders, they get healthy, and then, you know, they bring those guys up and, you know, they should get rolling next year. I mean, if they got to get – they can't come in next year where they are now. You know what I mean? Then that's not good for Granato.
Right.
Yeah, but you can't – I mean, we can't keep getting rid of the coach neither. You know what I mean? So it's like, damn, you know, at some point it got to happen. You know what I mean? Like you say, you got to be patient, but damn, at some point it just has to click. Everything has to click. Just like how it clicked with the Bills. I know everybody wanted to be that way. You know, it just clicked with the Bills. All of a sudden, like, damn. I mean, McDermott went to the playoffs his first year, for crying out loud. Did more with less. You know, got rid of all the bad apples and still, you know, through the good graces of Cincinnati Bengals, you know, they made it to the playoffs, you know, they made it there. And, you know, the year before that was the rebuilding year, but they've been in the playoffs every year since then. So, you know, everybody wants that for our Sabres. They're long overdue. And when it happens, and hopefully, you know, it'll be a consistent thing up in Sabres land as well.
Yeah, shout out to the Bandits, too. They're on fire. They played really well. So,
oh, man, they're the New England Patriots of lacrosse.
Yeah, right. Now they just got to start winning putting some banners up there in that arena again, like they used to back in the early 90s.
Right.
All right, Mook. Well, what do you want? You got anything you need to plug? Might as well, we're at it, right?
Well, you know, probably next time around this time, I'll be an indie, man. You know, so, you know, hopefully I can have something nice and juicy for you to report, you know, because I'll be an indie at the combine. You know, they took the bubble out, so I'm kind of good about that. You know, I mean, trying to make this bubble happen. And we all know that Indy is a great place to be come combine time, because everybody in the football world will be there. You got all the media outlets from ESPN, NFL Network, all the reporters, all the GMs, all the scouts, all the coaches, you know, the players, obviously, you know what I mean? So once we're done working, guess what? The bars will be packed. And guess what? I'll probably be drinking beer with Willie McGinnis and, you know, a GM just shooting the shit with them about whatever, you know what I mean? And then next, you know, I get a juicy tidbit on a good tip or something. That's just how it happens at the combine, man. Yep. Just like that. So I love going to Indy. It's a great time. It's a great time in a whole week. All the media outlets and all who's who and what's what of the NFL is there.
I'm too big for your suitcase. Damn it. make sure if you haven't been, St. Elmo's.
Oh yeah, I was there.
Okay.
Make
one of those rich kids that do TV. Make not Josh Reed because he just had a second kid. Make Beauvais or one of those TV kids. Make sure they pay your way at St. Elmo's. They're making all the big bucks these days, right? So
yeah, they're making all the big bucks. They definitely make it. Yeah, me and Josh had a real good time last time we was down in Indy. So I'm quite sure we're gonna have another good time again this year.
Yeah, make Matt Parrino with his good hair take, you know, in terms of his hair product, make him spend his hair product on you at St. Elmo's in Indy, man.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna get one of those guys gonna fit the bill this time.
Good. Good. Yeah. And listen, do like they do in the NFL. Whoever's the rookie on the trip, right, has to pay the tab.
Has to pick up that tab, baby.
Right on, man.
It ain't me no more.
Right. Yeah, absolutely not, man. You're running the show. All right, dude. So we'll have a safe trip out there, man. I look forward to hearing what you see and hear and watch and listen to in Indy at RCA. Oh, my God. At Lucas Oil Field and at the Combine. I can't wait. That's going to be super cool, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, brother. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me in the basement, big dog.
Oh, it was fun having you in the basement, man. Cheers to you. Enjoy the rest of your tea if you still have any left.
Crumpets.
And your crumpets. All right, dude.
Peace out.